The Lord said about Abram, he said, "For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord." That's what God wants for godly fathers, godly men, is for our children to keep the way of the Lord, to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. And so an important part of that would have been to go through to what it means to keep the way of the Lord, to do righteousness and justice. But we all know how important that is. Thank you, Eric. Okay, so today I want to look at Households for Christ Part 2. We're going to look at a different passage of Scripture. We're going to look at a man by the name of Lot. Okay? And everyone knows about Lot. I'll put it this way, everyone knows about Lot's wife. Probably more than they know about Lot. Well, today we're going to look at Lot in Genesis chapter 19. Let me say a few things about Lot before we start. Lot was the son of Haran. Haran was the brother of Abraham. And they were going to leave the land of Canaan, or excuse me, leave the land of Ur of Chaldees and come to Canaan. But when they got to a city called Haran, well, Haran died in Ur of Chaldees. When they got to the city of Haran, Terah, which was Abraham's father, he died. Okay? And so you have Abraham now with Lot, Haran's son, his nephew, Abraham's nephew. And so Abraham hears from God in Ur of the Chaldees, "I'm going to bless you. I want you to depart from your country, your family, origin, and go to the land that I'm going to show you." So Abraham takes off and he goes, and he takes with him his nephew, Lot, who is his brother's son. What's interesting also to note is that Lot, you know, when Abraham went down into Egypt because there was a famine, Abraham went down to Egypt, he got scared on the way in. He said, "They're going to say, my wife is very beautiful, so would you please say I'm your brother, and I'll tell people you're my sister." Well, Lot was with Abraham when he went down into Egypt because Lot traveled with Abraham. So it was with him when he came up out of Egypt. Also, Lot was rich in livestock like Abraham was. Lot had plenty of livestock, had servants and so forth. And as we know, this caused them to have to separate. Lot's herdsmen and Abraham's herdmen got into a little spat over wells and land and all this type of thing. And Abraham said, "It's not good for us to fight. We're brethren. Whichever way you take, I'll take the opposite. You just go and we'll put some space between us because our goods are so large." Sometimes we have to watch out that when we grow so big, we lose relationship. Amen? Okay, and so Lot, the Bible says he lifted up his eyes and he looked toward the plain of Jordan. And he chose for himself the plain of Jordan. Now, Lot chose with the viewing of his eyes. And as soon as he departed from Abraham, the Lord said, "Now look north, south, east, and west, because I'm going to give you all this land." And it's interesting that Lot chose with his eyes the plain of Jordan because it was well watered, like the water of the Garden of God, it says, before Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. And because it was well watered and so forth to grow plenty, Lot says, a good place for my livestock. So he went toward the east. But what, you know, sometimes we make choices and we don't know. We don't know if we don't seek God. We don't know what we're about to choose, because Lot chose the east and pitched his tent, the Bible says, as far as Sodom. He was going in the direction of gross ungodliness, right? Abraham stayed where he was and pitched a little bit more westward. Then we find that Lot, coming up to Genesis 19, then we remember that Lot now is in or around Sodom and Gomorrah. And there are some kings, Bersha, I believe the king of Gomorrah and the other king of Sodom, they got overtaken by some other kings and they took Lot and his family and all of his possessions and they went away. And the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah couldn't stop them. They were overpowered. Well, Abraham, with his 318 trained servants, got them together and said, we're going to go get Lot and all these people. Let's go. What those four kings couldn't do, we're going to go do this. And he had some allies in the sons of Mamre and these other people living in the land. And so he goes and he rescues Lot and all of his possessions from these kings. And if you remember, that's when he was returning from that battle, that's when Melchizedek showed up. When he was returning from the slaughter of kings, Melchizedek showed up. And this is very, I think, important in the life of Abraham, because Melchizedek said, blessed be God and blessed be Abraham, whom the Lord has delivered his enemies into his hand. It was God who caused Abraham to defeat those kings, because Abraham couldn't have done it without God. So Melchizedek is coming out and affirming this and acknowledging this and said, God gave you a victory in that battle. And the Bible says Abraham gave him a tenth of everything that he had. And we studied Melchizedek when we looked into, and we are studying him as we look into the book of Hebrews. We're going to get back to the book of Hebrews this year, believe it or not, we will. And so Abraham, this great patriarch, gave a tenth of all that he had to Melchizedek. Let you know how great Melchizedek not was, only was, but is. All right. So Abraham delivers Lot and all the people back to Sodom and Gomorrah. Then about 20 years transpired, because Abraham goes into Hagar. She has a son. Around verse chapter 16 is when Ishmael was making fun of Isaac when he was weaned, and that's when Sarah said, get this woman out of here. Her son's not going to be heir with my son. And God said, Abraham, listen to your wife. And all the women said, amen. And so Abraham listened to his wife and took Hagar and put her out. And at that point, Ishmael was 13 years old. And so some time has elapsed, has gone by. And then we come to Genesis chapter 19. We're talking about households for Christ. Households for Christ. So in chapter 19, let me back up to chapter 18. Last week's text came out of Genesis 18, where God came to Abraham on his way to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. So these texts are closely related. And God stands there and talks to Abraham, but the two angels who were with him, they went on to Sodom and Gomorrah. And so this is where Lot comes in, because Lot's living in Sodom at this time. Kind of like, and we know about Sodom and Gomorrah, it's kind of like us today. We're living in Sodom. Hello? So this story has application for you and I, because we are living in, they were wicked, but beloved, look, we are living in a time, and it's getting darker and more wicked by the day, with laws being passed and things being challenged, and it's getting darker by the day. So what we want to do is we want to look at this passage of Scripture. I'm not going to read all through chapter 19, but you know the story. The angels come up to the gate of Sodom. Lot is sitting in the gate of Sodom. He says, turn into me, please, gentlemen. And they say, no, we're going to dwell in the street tonight. We're just going to sleep in the street. He said, No. Now, why was Lot being so hospitable? Well, maybe he was just an hospitable man, but part of it would have to have been that Lot knew the people amongst whom he dwelt. And he was telling these men, come into my house. Well, he wasn't telling them, because you're not going to make it out here in the street. These boys are going to be on you, man. You come into my house. And they said, no, we're not going to. He urged them, and they finally said, okay, we'll stay with you. And so you know the story. The men surround the house. Lot offers up his daughters, which was, crazy, but at that time, men were exalted, right? And so, thank God, the angels didn't allow that. And so we come down, down into verse 12 is where we're going to come to, where, you know, the angels struck the men blind, snatched Lot back into the house. And then we read this. Then the man said to Lot, have you anyone else here? Son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, and whomever you have in the city, take them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. Okay? And so here we have a picture of, and we have a picture of God's heart, because God is initiating a rescue. God is initiating a divine deliverance from divine judgment that is about to come upon a place. And even as we sit here in this life, we know that divine judgment is coming. Judgment day is on its way. Judgment day is coming. And the every day we live, we are one day closer, because it's going to happen on a day. And if that's the case, every day we live, we are one day closer to the judgment day, to the judgment of the Lord. When Christ comes, he's going to judge the earth in righteousness, right? And so here, these angels come to Lot, and they ask him, have you anyone else? And they begin to name family members. Remember, we're talking about households for Christ. Now, we have to ask ourselves, why did these angels come to Lot's home? We know that Lot invited them in, but I believe also that they came because Lot was a righteous man. Lot was a righteous man. You say, how do you know that? Well, the scripture tells us. But let me say this first, that no one knows the day of judgment. Even these people who said May 21st is the right there, the rapture, October 21st is the day of judgment. Here is Lot living in Sodom. He has no idea of what is going on. He has absolutely no idea until these angels come, this situation happens, and then he gets this divine pronouncement, we are going to destroy where you live. That's like, could you imagine that? Japan had no warning. Okay? Southeast Asia in 2004 had no warning. December 26th, I will never forget hearing the report, seeing the date, December 26th, when that tsunami hit Southeast Asia, Africa, and it just bowled over people. And they didn't have the tsunami warnings then that we have now. And it just came, and destruction just rolled over people. Well, we have our tsunami warnings, and people in Japan had about, from what I understand, about 13 minutes to 30 minutes or something like that to prepare. But that wasn't enough. And here they had a bit of knowledge that judgment was coming. 10,000 people are dead. 17,000 are missing. Here, there was no, the righteous man, Lot, knew nothing about the judgment that was coming. So, the scripture says he was a righteous man, and because he was righteous, deliverance was offered to him. We see this in 2 Peter chapter 2. The Bible says, and delivered righteous Lot. Righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man, dwelling among them, tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Lot was a righteous man. You know, as I thought about this passage of scripture and thinking about it, he dwelt with Abraham for a number of years. You know, the Bible says so many times, Abraham built an altar in Bethel. Abraham moved and he built an altar in Beersheba. And Lot would have seen Abraham offering up sacrifices to Yahweh, to Jehovah at that time. Yahweh, they didn't know him as Yahweh. But Jehovah, he would have seen this. And so you wonder about the effect that Abraham's life would have had on Lot. Let me say this. When you live in a righteous way, you have an effect on other people. The righteous life that you live isn't just for you, especially if you're the head of the home like Lot is. We said that last week about Abraham, that he was righteous, and we said it about Noah, that Noah was righteous, and God told his whole family to get on the ark. Would have been different if he had just told Noah. But he didn't just tell Noah. He told Noah, get your sons on the ark, your wife, get your sons' wives, all of y'all get on the ark. Because if there's a righteous representation, God wants to save the whole clan. He wants to save the whole household. It's the same thing here with Lot. The scripture calls Lot righteous, but the angel says, have you anyone else here? I'm here to tell you, beloved, that if we have been declared righteous through Jesus Christ, he's asking us the same question. Do you have anyone else here? Do you have anyone else here? And the answer is, yes! Yes! I've got other people here, Lord. That would be the answer. And so we see here, as in our case, as it applies to us, we see here it applying to Lot, that the righteousness that he walked in didn't only have an effect upon him, but it was to have an effect upon those related to him. So how you live doesn't only affect you. It affects those related to you. Oh, my, my, my. We could go into that and have a sermon all by itself, but how we live our life, I've told people, no, because it's standard. When people come to dedicate their child, they bring their baby, pastor, we want you to lay hands on our baby. We want you to dedicate our baby. And the first thing I tell them is, well, yeah, we're going to dedicate the child. But let me tell you what means more than that dedication. Now, we can't dedicate that child really fully until you dedicate yourself. Come on. A dedication of a child is more than just giving that child to God. Because God has given that child, that parent, to live before them in a life of dedication. So not just pray a prayer of dedication that happens on one day, but live a life of dedication that happens every day so that child can see what dedication and consecration is all about. Right? That's why it's so important that Lot was living a righteous life. Can you imagine? There were not 9 other people in Sodom and Gomorrah who were righteous. Because Abraham said, Lord, if there are 10 there, would you spare the city? And the Lord said, if I find 10, I'll spare it. Lot was one, there were not 9 others. Can you imagine it? Not 9 others. Just Lot, so far as we know, maybe 8 others. Maybe 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. But there were 9 others. Right? And so Lot's life had an effect. Anyone connected to Lot or the righteous has a divine offer of deliverance. Anyone connected to Lot had an offer of divine deliverance. Do you have anyone else here? Take them out of this place because we will destroy this place. And so it was imminent what was about to happen. And so we look at it. I want to go ahead and then come back. Genesis 19. Further down in the verse 29, this is the last verse of the chapter. No, it isn't. Last verse regarding, not the last verse. Let me back up. It's not the last verse. It's the last, farthest verse that I'm going to deal with in this passage of Scripture. And it says this, and it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow. When he overthrew the cities in which Lot had dwelt. Now it says here, God remembered Abraham. Remember God came to Abraham? Abraham jumped up, said, rest under the trees, we'll feed you a meal. And God said, go ahead and do it. And they fixed the meal, and God sat there and ate. And the angels ate. And then Abraham, you know, the Lord stood and looked towards Sodom, and that's where the angels went away. What did God remember about Abraham? Did he remember the meal? No, he didn't remember the meal. What did he remember about Abraham? This is what he remembered about Abraham. He remembered his intercession. Then it says that when he destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham. And Abraham stood there and said, Lord, if there are 50 righteous, would you destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? If 50 people live, he said, no. He said, okay, what about 50 minus 5? 45 people. And he went on down to 10. Well, when the Lord went to destroy Sodom, he remembered Abraham's entreaty, his intercession and his prayers. And he took Lot out of the midst of the overthrow. What does that say about you and I? That our prayers matter. Who you praying for in your family? Who you believing God for them to come out of the midst of the overthrow? Because as sure as we're sitting here today, the overthrow is on its way. Come on, beloved, it's coming. It's coming. And so, our prayers and intercessions, supplications, and giving of thanks matter before God. There are others who will be delivered because of the righteous acts of God's people, just as Lot, even though he was righteous, God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow. He sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow. So our intercession delivers others from divine judgment. Just like your mother prayed for you, my mother prayed for me, God probably would have saved the entire plane for one righteous person if Abraham had kept going. Probably. It's possible that God would have saved all of those five cities and not destroyed them had Abraham asked him. And so our prayers are very, very important. So is it any wonder why Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy 2, therefore I exalt first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. God says, I want you to give thanks for President Obama. Well, he's not pushing the policies that God didn't say. He didn't say anything about policies. He said, give thanks. Give thanks for your employer. Give thanks for your pastor, even though he steps on your toes every now and again. Give thanks for your husband, your wife, your children, all of these. Make intercession. Pray for them. Intercede for kings and for all who are in authority that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Beloved, we need to pray. I'm sure you've heard by now, you heard that over in London that they've had some demonstrations. And the demonstrations are not because they want to throw out the prime minister who's just voted in, I forget his name, escapes me right at the top, but they were protesting and actually vandalizing a store because the British government is cutting back money that it gives to the public. And so the middle class is really struggling, and people don't like that. And so they were demonstrating yesterday something fierce, and it was extreme. And so, you know, that could come here. You know, we sit over here and watch the news and go, aren't we, you know, they got all that trouble going over there in Yemen and Bahrain and all these places, and we sit over here like, well, it could come here. We don't want it to, but it could, right? And so we need to pray that we would live a life of a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. What's good and acceptable? That we pray for all these people and live a life in quietness, peaceable life, and all godliness and reverence. So pray for all these men, and it says this in verse 4, for God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's why we're to pray for all men. And in particular, I know we're praying for those that we love, that are close to us, that are on our heart. We're praying for them, but we're going to take it a step farther than prayer, because we see it here. Genesis 19, verse 12, we go back to that. Then he said, the men said to Lot, have you anyone else here? There was a divine question put to Lot, because these angels are speaking on behalf of God. Have you anyone here? Have you anyone here? Who do you have here in the city? And I think that the question that came to Lot has to come to us. Who do we have in this world? Who do we have in Virginia, Maryland, D.C.? Who do we have, people that are connected to us? Not just brothers and sisters, but brother-in-law, sister-in-law, aunt, uncle. Who do we have? And has that question come to us? The same divine question that came to Lot has to come to us. Who do we have? Who is connected to us? Who do we have in this world, in this city? Because the divine question, who do we have in this world, The offer of divine deliverance demanded action. The offer of divine deliverance demanded action. He said to him, have you anyone else here, son-in-law, your sons, daughters? Take them out of this place. And so Lot, you're going to have to do something here. You're going to have to do something. And we see it in verse 14. So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law. He went out and he spoke to his sons-in-law who had married his daughters and said, get up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But to his sons-in-law, he seemed to be joking. So Lot got up and he went to his sons-in-law. Now these married, that word married means betrothed. They weren't married, the complete marriage hadn't taken place, but it was more like they were engaged to be married. So the men weren't living with his daughters yet. His daughters were still living in his own home. But Lot goes out to them. He goes out to them to speak the word of the Lord. Have we gone to the people that we have in our families? Now, I know where to pray for them, but let's take it a step farther. Have we gone to them? Have we gone to them? Some people we need to go to. Lot, the angels were implying to Lot, you're going to have to go to these people and give them the word of the Lord, the divine message that will save them, and only this message will save them. Get out of here. Get out of here. And so we would say to people, you know, would have to address sin. You got to forsake your sin. Accept Jesus Christ and live. Is that the gospel message? A person cannot accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior without repenting. Hello? They cannot do it. And so what we have to ask ourselves is, have we gone to them as Lot did? Who have we spoken to in our household? Who have we spoken to? And the better question is, who haven't we spoken to? Who haven't I taken the gospel to? Listen, if Lot really believed those angels, and he saw them blind, those men, he saw them, you know, he saw as they revealed themselves to him, Lot knew that what was going to happen was true. And so Lot, with haste, he went out and he preached, literally preached, he gave the message to those who were in his family who were going to be affected by the wrath that was about to be poured out on the city. And so I had to ask myself this question as I'm reading this scripture and as I'm preparing this message. I'm saying, okay, Patrick, who have you gone to? Who haven't you gone to? Come on. We go to family reunions almost every year. We are around not only our immediate family, we are around our extended family. And so here's an opportunity now to impact someone for Christ, to go to someone for Christ, to share the message, to share the good news of Jesus Christ, that he delivers us from the wrath to come. Not only that, but that we'll live forever, that they will receive eternal life, that we can go to them at that time. That we would not simply be thinking about ourselves, but as Lot, you know, Lot could have turned around and said, no, we fine, just me and my girls, we ready to go. You know? He could have been us four and no more. Me, my wife, and my two girls. Let's go. But he went to his sons-in-law. Now, he knew his sons-in-law. He knew how they were. You know, sometimes that stops us from going because we know the person we're about to go to. Well, Lord, you know how they is. I don't want to go talk to them, Lord, because they're going to reject me. They're going to tell me, call me a fool and all these. Do you have anybody in this city? That was the divine question that was put to Lot. At least Lot tried. All right? He went to his family. He went to his daughters. He went to his sons-in-law. Now, what's interesting about this is that in this city, now, Lot's daughters could have been righteous. We don't know that. His sons-in-laws could have been righteous because that would have been, his wife could have been righteous, and if he had all of them righteous, that would be eight people. Okay? And the Lord said, if there are 10 there, I'll save the city. The scripture says that Lot was the one who was righteous. But who got saved? His wife and his daughters. I think we may find out a little bit about his wife because the angel, see, when an angel comes to talk to you, the angel's not speaking on his own authority. The angel is speaking on God's behalf. And the angel said, go, flee from the city, and don't look back. And I think we find something out about the character of Lot's wife because something in her could not leave. Something in her, something was pulling her to, you know, something was still akin to Sodom and Gomorrah. She looked back and became a pillar of salt, the scripture says. So have we offered the message of deliverance from the coming judgment? Have we offered the message? Well, Pastor, you don't know what they're going to know. It's not about what they're going to say. Have we shared the message? I've shared the gospel with family members and had them tell me, yeah, I know all about it. I've heard all that stuff. And I'm saying, ho, wait a second. No, that's not what I'm talking about. That's not what I'm talking about. And then, you know, but contending and getting in there and contending for the faith and saying, well, no, but that, you know, not just religion, not just going to church on Sunday morning. Do you have eternal life? If you have Christ, you know, 1 John 5:11 says, he who has the Son has life. He who has not the Son of God does not have life. Right? And so we're not just talking about going to church. And so what we see here is that Lot's sons-in-law, that to them, Lot seemed to be joking. Lot seemed to be joking. It's the same thing when you tell people the world's coming to an end today. Oh, man, you don't really believe that stuff. Come on, man. Scientists have shown the world has been around for billions of years. Oh, this thing is the sun has X amount of years, millions of years of life in it before it finally burns out. Surely you don't believe. Anybody ever been told that? Anybody ever heard the excuses? Well, to this, Lot's just joking. He's having fun with us. And so to his sons, he seemed to be joking. Why? Why is it that when we go to people at times, they don't take us seriously? And I think some of the reason why, it wasn't because Lot, I don't think, did anything wrong. But why is it difficult for some people to hear the divine offer of salvation? In this case, I want to look at Ezekiel 16. 49 and 50. Because Sodom's gross sin by the name of the city, sodomy, that was one of its gross sins, so much so that its outcry had gone up before the Lord, and the Lord was coming down to see if it was the case. The Lord always inspects and inquires. But here in Ezekiel 16, this is what it reads. Look, for this was the iniquity of your sister Sodom. She and her daughter had pride. First sin. And pride, like the word sin, has in the middle, I. Right? And pride usually deals with pride. The word means to be proud, to swell, to be arrogant. And when we're full of pride, we're full of ourselves. Like Satan said, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will ascend the mountain of the Lord. I. So Sodom had these other sins, pride, fullness of food, and abundance of idleness. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore, I took them away as I saw fit. So God took Sodom and Gomorrah away as he saw fit. You know, God can do that. Whenever he gets ready, he can do because he's righteous and deals perfect judgment. And so we see the sins here of pride. Why was it so hard for for Lot's sons to come? To heed the message. Why were they thinking he was just joking? Well, when you live in a prideful city or a prideful nation, in this current NATO campaign that we have against Libya, I hear all the time, the Americans have the greatest army on the planet. No one could ever beat our air campaign. We know that we're invincible. And I'm thinking to myself, dear gracious, for real? For real? It would be different. It would be different if we said this: God protects us. God fights for us. Our shelter is in God. Our reliance is upon God. Some trust in chariots and in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. That's dependence upon God. But what we say is we're depending upon us. Beloved, whenever we're dependent on us, that's pride. Whenever we point to ourselves as the resource, as the source of all, like when you win with March Madness and we're watching basketball now, and people out there pumping their chest and I'm it and everything, I'm thinking, oh, you are. Until they get on the court and get embarrassed. And then they're walking into the locker room with their heads down and everything. Come on. All that we do, God gives us the strength to do, the ability to do. And if God, who holds our breath in his hand, Daniel says, were to close his hand and snuff out our breath, beloved, there's no more you can do. Now, we don't live in full view of that. We don't think about that every day. But that is certainly the case. Sodom was a city that was full of pride. It was reliant totally upon itself. Also, fullness of food. Fullness of food. Well, how did they get fullness of food? Lot pitched his tent there because it said it was a well-watered area. God had made this place a fertile region. And the reason why they had fullness of food was not because of themselves, but it was because of God's goodness. But they chalked it up to themselves. When you have fullness of food, all that you need, and we often talk about when you have everything that you need, then you don't need God. Hello? When you have everything that you need, you don't need God. Now, that's the way we think, but that's a lie. When you have everything that you need, boy, you need God more so at that time when you have everything that you need. Remember the parable Jesus said to this man who was going to pull down his barns and build bigger. He says, I have much stuff for many years. He said, take your soul, be at ease, take your rest. Everything is fine. That is exactly the case that Sodom was in. We have everything we need. America was in the same case before the housing bubble burst. Everyone, my goodness, bonuses were rolling out as fat as they could be. Oh, let's go flip that house, man. Buy that house. Flip it. Get some money. I had one of my employees come tell me, man, I'm about to make $100,000. Whoa! And he's all excited and all this. That's where we were. Fullness of food. Everything's going wonderful. Isn't this great? And then the bottom fell out. And no one, well, some people said they knew it was coming. But it doesn't matter if one or two people know it. We didn't know it. You and I didn't know it. God knew it. Fullness of food can cause one to think they don't need God, not realizing that the fullness came from his hand. And so, he goes on, fullness of food leads to an abundance of idleness. I got on Facebook today, and one of my friends saw someone post said, all I'm going to do today is watch Jaws all day long and do nothing. I thought to myself, because I had already studied all this, you know, and I thought to myself, abundance of idleness. Beloved, we have an abundance of idleness in America. Why? Because we've got a lot. See, if you don't have to work 16 hours a day, then you can play much of the day. So if you've got all your, they had fullness of food. Well, it was an agricultural society. You work for your food. Well, when you've got all that you need, then you don't have to work as much. That leads to idleness. And we know what happens when people are idle. Just look over the Middle East. Much of what's going on in these countries is that you have in some cases, 30% unemployment. Some of those countries have 50% unemployment. What are you going to do when 50% of the young men in the country are sitting around with nothing to do? That's going to put young men, that's going to make them angry, that's going to put them fighting, that's going to put them doing, they have nothing to do but get in trouble. And so they rebel. We want change, and they should have change. All right, so abundance of idleness, partying, and the like. Remember America before 9/11? How at ease we were with Islamic terrorism? We weren't thinking about it. That word idleness means repose, which is the act of resting or the state of being at rest. Freedom from worry, peace of mind, calmness, tranquility. That's the way Sodom was. Everyone was taking it easy. Everything's fine. Now, we're going to get to this script in a second, but Jesus said this. Remember he said this? He said, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the coming of the Son of Man. That's in the book of Matthew. But the book of Luke, he takes it farther. He said, as it was in the days of Lot, so it will be in the days when the Son of Man is revealed. They were eating and drinking. In Noah's case, they were marrying and giving in marriage. He didn't mention that in Lot's case because in Lot, in Sodom and Gomorrah, wasn't nobody getting married. Huh? They were doing their thing. But he says, they were eating and drinking, they were building, spending, buying, they were doing all these things until judgment came upon them. And Jesus mentioned that in the scriptures we're going to get to in a second, all to bring about the suddenness of judgment. When it comes, it's going to be in a moment. In a moment. So the time to prepare, that's why Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Because today is the day of salvation. Because today is the day you've got. Tomorrow's not the day of salvation because tomorrow's not promised you. Today is the day of salvation. So pride and wealth can cause the heart to grow cold toward those in need. The scripture says that they were hot, that neither did they strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And so they forgot about those who were in need. They didn't pay any attention to that and only was concerned with their own welfare. What's good about the current economic slowdown is that it causes all the world to stop and wonder, what is going on? What is my life all about? What is life really? Because it ain't about stuff because I don't have any stuff. It ain't about my house because my house was repossessed. Not about my car because my car was repossessed. It's a lot of people in that case, really. They're in that situation. Life is more than the things that we have. Amen? Jesus said that life does not consist of the abundance of the things that a man possesses. Okay? So we look further. Genesis 19. When the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city. And while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to him. Notice the Lord was merciful to him, but they took his wife and his two daughters. You see, again, the righteousness of Lot, his influence. You see, that the righteous life that he lived extended to his whole family. God doesn't just want to save the head of the home. He wants to save the entire family. Right? And they brought them out and set them outside the city. Now, you know, there's a couple things in here that would make you wonder. One of the huge things is this. If Lot really believed that judgment was coming, why did he linger? Verse 16 says, and while he lingered, he was just hanging around. I mean, what was he doing? Packing a suitcase? I mean, what are you doing? They're going to destroy the city. Reminds me when our house caught fire, and I told my mother, Mama, the furnace is on fire, flames coming up out the furnace. I went outside. I'm headed towards the door. My mother running around, And I look, and I'm looking at her. I'm like, Mama, you don't understand me. I said, the furnace is an all-burning furnace, oil, fire, kaboom type thing. I am going outside. My mother run around getting her birds. She's getting this and that and the other thing. And I said, Mama, she said, boy, I got to get some stuff. I'm like, oh, my goodness. And so I'm ready to go. Lot is lingering. Lot is lingering. We made it out the house. Everything was fine. Nothing blew up. Glory to God. Amen. The Lord took care of it all. And but so he lingered. But look at the mercy of God, because here we see somewhat of a, what do you want to call it? The mercy of God took them by the hand in an active deliverance. I was going to say a forced deliverance. But here is the mercy of God. Lot apparently doesn't understand something. It's not hitting him what is about to happen, not fully. And God is so gracious that he goes and he takes Lot. Now think about this, two angels, they took, one angel took Lot and his wife, the other angel took his daughter and his other daughter. Two angels took four people out of the midst of the overthrow, by the hand, took them out of the midst of the overthrow. God sent just what they needed. I wondered, I said, Lord, what would have happened if the sons-in-law would have come? Because there were no more angels with hands, you know. But that's not crucial. But I'm just saying to myself that God provided exactly what they needed to get out of the midst of the overthrow. Even when they didn't understand fully what was about to happen, God provided. Now, can you believe that God would provide for your family members, those who don't know how serious it is, those who are lingering and holding back? You've given the gospel, you've presented the gospel, but they're holding back and lingering back. Do you believe God could deliver them? I believe God can deliver them. God, do what needs to be done so that my child, so that my daughter, so that my son, so that my uncle and my cousin can be delivered. So that my brother-in-law, my sister-in-law can be delivered out of the midst of the overthrow. That's what the angels did for them. So that's a powerful thing that God would take them by the hand to do that. Wow. All right. The judgment to come. Luke chapter 17, we see Jesus speaking about Lot. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Now, some commentators say that God didn't have to do anything special to make this happen. There were certain elements in the region that still are in the region that burn when fire, very rapidly when fire touches them. Also, if a volcano had erupted, lava, hot lava would just come down, and cities have been destroyed that way since. Volcanoes erupted and rained lava down on cities, and people had no, I mean, here we have cars and everything. You know, that's not fast enough to get out of the way. Goodness knows on a donkey, you're just not getting anywhere, right? You're just not getting anywhere. And so fire would have been rained down, and brimstone would have been rained down out of heaven upon these people. Again, Jesus, in mentioning this, is mentioning it for this reason, is that verse 30, even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. The suddenness of the judgment to come. When it comes, you will not be able to say, oh, it's time to go. No. You will have been gone if you're going to be saved. You will have been gone if you are going to be saved. And so, I like this, that we notice that the righteous left before the judgment came. Some people say, whoo, the rapture, we getting up out of here, y'all, before the judgment comes. I don't know. I don't have an official position, A-trib, post-trib, mid-trib. I don't have an official position. All I know is when Jesus comes, I want to be where I'm supposed to be. I want to be living righteous. Doesn't matter. I don't care when we go out of here. The Lord tarries and we pass away. I just want to be where I'm supposed to be, when Jesus either calls me home or when he comes. Doesn't matter about the tribulation. Jesus is big enough to take us through the tribulation. He's big enough to take us out before the tribulation. Whatever, however he wants to do it, fine with me. I just want to be in love with my Savior. I just want to be where I'm supposed to be when he comes. And he said, be ready. That's what he said. Be ready. He said, don't be concerned with when, but be ready. And so another thing we notice is that the angels delivered the righteous prior to judgment, prior to the judgment. The same will happen with us. Look at Matthew 24:31. Jesus talking about the end times, he said, and he, meaning himself, he will send his angels, meaning the Father, he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect. The elect are the chosen ones. He will send his angels to gather the elect from the four winds. Just as God sent the angels to Sodom and Gomorrah to take Lot and his people by the hand out of Sodom and Gomorrah, out of the way of divine judgment, so God at the end of the ages are going to send his angels, and they will direct us. If we're still here, then those angels will direct us out of the path of divine judgment. Same thing. And so isn't it a beautiful thing to know that God's angels will do for us just what they did for Lot and his wife and his daughters? All right, now back to 19:29, our last scripture. And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow. Our Lord wants to send households out of the midst of the overthrow, because there's an overthrow coming. And I'm not preaching on it, the second coming, although there's allusions to it because of Sodom and Gomorrah being destroyed by fire. And we know that when Christ comes to judge again, the world is going to be destroyed by fire. So there's an allusion to it here. But my point is, and what I want to emphasize in this, is that God sent Lot, but not only Lot. He sent his wife and his two children out of the midst of the overthrow. He sent the family out, because God has a heart for families. He wants them to come to him to receive eternal salvation. He wants them to be safe and secure in him, having been redeemed from any and all divine judgment. Amen? My prayer is that those who hear the offer of divine deliverance would receive it. Let's stand. Father, we thank you for delivering Lot and his family out of the midst of the overthrow. Father, we thank you for delivering us and our families out of the midst of the overthrow. We thank you that you rescued us, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you are not willing that any of our families perish, but you are wanting all to come to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And we pray, Father, for those mothers and fathers, brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles, Lord, son-in-laws and daughter-in-laws and brother-in-laws and sister-in-laws that, Lord, we have access to. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would anoint us. Father, that you would fill us with boldness. Father, that as we go, oh God, that we would go to them, that we would give them the message of salvation. Father, that we would, Lord, speak words of life and the love of Christ over them. And Father, we pray that their hearts would be open, that they would receive the fullness of the gift of the grace of God, that Christ would be their Lord and Savior. Lord, that many households, oh God, Lord, would be saved, oh God. Father, they would come into a place, come into this church, come into other churches, oh God. Lord, that the churches might be the ark of God, Lord, for this last hour. Lord, that people would be redeemed from divine judgment and saved for all of eternity. We ask this, Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you.